I think the other thing that's coming along that is really very interesting is this sub-Q rituximab. It's kind of exciting. I mean, it sort of emerged all of a sudden. I mean, those studies have been, the SABRINA study had been going on for a while, and I think many of us were not really aware of that until we saw the preliminary data.
That was absolutely, that was the next thing on my list that I was going to ask you about, which was because we were talking about that, and I think it's just really fascinating. Can you go a little bit more into, first of all, how sub-Q rituximab is given and what we know in terms of, you know, how it compares to IV rituximab, not just about efficacy, but also infusion reactions?
So I've not used it yet, but from what I know, it looks like the efficacy is identical to using IV rituximab. And from what I've read, it sounds as though you need to give one dose of rituximab IV first, and then you can give the subcutaneous infusion over 5 to 7 minutes. It's given with a hyaluronidase to, I guess, promote its absorption. And reportedly, there are no infusion reactions if you give it sub-Q.
And how long does it take? The patient still comes in, though?
We haven't implemented this yet. I suspect we're going to be talking about it soon. You know, I think if patients are coming in for chemotherapy, you know, if they're going to get an infusion of bendamustine, they'll be coming in anyway. I think, yeah, the bigger question is for people who are getting weekly rituximab as a single agent, would we have patients administer it at home? And I think in patients who are otherwise well, you're not worried about tumor lysis or anything else, we could certainly think about having it given at home.